Even if yours is a righteous indignation in the purest sense of the word, you and I are neither qualified nor authorized to execute vengeance. Leave it to God to set things right. God warns us, be angry and sin not. Now the Bible tells us there is a right way and a wrong way to deal with anger. We're far too familiar with the wrong way to deal with anger. It is wrong for us to let our selfishness arouse anger. It is wrong for us to seek vengeance because we're angry. It is wrong for us to turn our anger against a person instead of the wrong done by that person. It is wrong for us to let anger to go unchecked or unresolved rather than settling the issue in the day when it occurs. It is wrong for anger in us to be other than a reflection of God's own attitude towards sin. We see illustrations of the wrong way to deal with anger almost every day in our dealings with people. So our attention here should be directed to the right ways to handle anger. And here are a list of suggestions on how you can deal with anger. First, control your anger. Do not permit it to run free. You have power over your emotions. You can set limits past which you will not permit yourself to go. We sometimes speak of a person flying off the handle or losing his cool when he gets angry. By those slang expressions, we mean he does not control his emotion. What a shame. It is a reflection on the maturity of the person who loses control. Proverbs 16:32 reads, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his own spirit than he who takes a city." Think about that. To be slow to anger indicates self-control. To rule one's spirit indicates self-control. So God is saying the humble person who controls his emotions and desires is greater than the famous and acclaimed general whose armies accomplish great feats and gain surprising victories. That's how much he values self-control. So the first principle on dealing with anger is this: control your anger, permitting it to rise over proper issues, at proper times, in appropriate ways, for the right purposes, expressed in correct ways, and to remain only for a limited time. Control your anger, if you would please God. Second, make no plans to retaliate. Now that means you have neither hatred nor malice toward any person, even the one who aroused your anger. Take Jesus as an example. 1 Peter 2:23 says, "When he was reviled, he did not revile again. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." Bear a wrong in patience rather than sin by taking acts of vengeance. God instructs us in Romans 12:19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." So leave it to God to work out what is right. Even if yours is a righteous indignation in the purest sense of the word, you and I are neither qualified nor authorized to execute vengeance. Bear no spirit of malice toward any person. Leave it to God to set things right. Third, keep your emotions unselfish. Direct your anger at the wrong done, not at the person who did the wrong. You are to continue to love yourself even when you have done wrong, so continue to love another person when he has done wrong. Suppose someone stole a valuable item from you. You must hate the theft without hating the thief. If someone told a lie on you, you must hate the lying without hating the liar. Now, if that seems too demanding, turn it to God. He has had ample experience in dealing with us that way, hating the wrong that we do while loving us when we're doing wrong. Suppose a child disobeys its parents, willfully and repeatedly disobeying. The parent might become angry, but check the nature of the anger. Is the parent angry because his personal wishes and instructions were ignored? Or is the parent angry because the child is setting a laugh pattern which will bring great harm later? The first response is selfish and unworthy. The second response is proper and honorable. It's not easy to keep anger directed against wrong things and not against persons, but it is essential if you would handle anger correctly. Fourth, respond with positive and constructive actions to the wrong that's done. Abraham Lincoln saw the slave market and resolved to do something about it. He did not attack the slave owners. He attacked the institution of slavery. He sought to cut the taproot of that evil practice and so stop the growth of the plant. Someone has said, "It is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness." Apply that to the subject of anger. It is better to correct the problem than to complain about the consequences. So do something constructive. Anger alone is never constructive. I read of a certain location where the highway ran close to the edge of a cliff. Once and again, an automobile failed to make the curve and would run over the cliff. Someone suggested there should be an ambulance kept at the bottom of the cliff to hasten the people to the hospital. But another suggested there should be a guardrail built beside the road. Now, which solution was better? Head off the danger before it happens, of course. So I suggest you do not wait until anger has lashed out and done its worst. Head it off. Be positive and do constructive things to remedy the problem. People deal with their anger in different ways, of course. Some repress it. They do not admit it even to themselves. Now, those people are often accident-prone. They suffer headaches or stomach problems. They experience periods of depression or perhaps times of anxiety. They're often critical and irritable. Why? They do not deal with anger in the right way. Other people suppress their anger. They hold it in. They hide it so that people will not know of it. Now, the book of Proverbs says such a control of anger is good in some instances, but it may cause emotional problems. It's better to deal with anger in the right way than to pretend it does not exist. There are yet other people who express their anger. They manifest it in violent passions of word and actions. There's others express it by expending energy, like walking or working. And yet others deal with it in a way to solve it, to release it without hurting others, and to remain at peace with God. But here is my suggestion. If you have anger, confess it to yourself. Face in an honest way the feelings you have, why you have them, who is involved in them, and what you should do about them. Settle it in your own heart first. Then, confess your anger to God. Tell Him all the details of it. If you have been selfish or uncontrolled, confess that to Him as a sin. Get His forgiveness and the assurance of His help. And then finally, confess your anger to the person involved and settle the issue with him in the Spirit of Christ. You will be surprised at how liberating that will be. Be angry without sinning in it. That's God's counsel to you. Now, our Father, we pray that what we've talked about here in theory can become real and personal and practical in our daily lives. Enable us to deal with anger without increasing the sin because we deal with it wrongly. And give us the courage to deal with it as it needs to be dealt with, so we do not keep it in our hearts and thus sin against you, ourselves, and our peers. In Jesus' name, amen.